الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madini Channel and honorable brothers in attendance, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salat ala Nabi. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever recites sallallahu ala Muhammad, he opens for himself 70 doors of mercy. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Inshallah, let's make some good intentions prior to the bayan. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, نية المؤمن خير من عملي. Let's make the intention that those in attendance, they're here solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, those who are watching via Madini channel, they can make the same intention that listening to and watching a lecture about sacred knowledge, we're doing this only to attain the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Also, make the intention that whatever you hear, you will try your utmost to remember it. There are some things that can help in this regard. We have to avoid all forms of distraction. If we're looking at who's coming, going, or we're tempted to take out our phone, then we will lose the blessings of the bayan. And also make the intention that whatever you remember, you will go away and try and act upon it as well, inshallah. Because the real fruit of knowledge is only attained by acting upon it. And then make the intention that whatever you retain, whatever you remember, you will also pass this information on to others as well, inshallah. In today's bayan, we are going to hear about the ways in which we can soften our heart. We can fill our heart with mercy for others, with kindness for others. This is something that is lacking today in this day and age, in the society that we live in today. Unfortunately, we see it's as if we are walking around heartless, merciless. And the effects of that can also be seen as well. People quarreling, people deceiving others, people wronging others. In society, we see that people are not well-wishing for others. Rather, they want bad to occur to others, ma'adallah. But if we follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, the prophetic way, we soften our heart, we show kindness to others, mercy to others, and inshallah we will see the blessings of that manifest in our communities and societies as well. So let us begin with an account from the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It's a lengthy narration, so please listen attentively. This narration is found in the hadith book At-Targhib wa-Tarheeb. Sayyiduna Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala is the Rabi, is the narrator. He's that companion who embraced Islam in the 9th year of Hijrah. And subhanAllah, he was a very devout worshipper. So much so that it's narrated regarding him that he would worship day and night. And in the evening, he would recite an entire Quran in one rak'at of salah. This was his level of taqwa, his piety, his love for worship, his devotedness. He narrates, he says, we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam when a camel arrived, a camel came galloping until it stood next to the blessed head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, began to say something. And obviously our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that excellent Prophet of Allah, grand Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can communicate with other creations as well. Many, we can't converse with animals. They can't communicate with us. But here you have a camel who's arrived in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and is saying something. Upon hearing what the camel said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "O camel, be at ease. If what you're saying is truthful, then that truthfulness will work in your favor. But on the contrary, if what you're saying is falsehood, then it will work against you." And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Indeed, Allah Almighty protects the one who seeks refuge in us, and whoever seeks sanctuary with us will never be disappointed." The Sahaba say, we asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did the camel say? Can you please tell us, what did the camel say to you?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "The camel's owners want to slaughter it, and they want to consume its meat, they want to eat it. So it has fled, seeking protection of your Prophet." The Sahaba relate that whilst we were in this state, the owners of the camel arrived. They saw the camel. And when they came, the camel again went closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning seeking protection. So the owners of the camel said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is our camel. He fled from us. It's been 3 days and now we found him in your court." And the Prophet alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, it's complaining, a very grievous complaint." They asked, "What is it saying?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "It grew up in your protection for many years. You would load it and go to the place of grazing in the summer, and when winter arrived, you would travel to a place of warmth. So when it grew old, you sought to gain offspring from it, and Allah Almighty granted you from it a pasturing camel. So when this year of abundance came upon it, you intended to slaughter and consume its meat." They responded, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed the affair is like that." They did tasdeeq. Again, showing that the Prophet ﷺ knew what the camel was saying. And they just confirmed that that is the case. The Prophet ﷺ then said, "This is not the recompense. This is not how you treat the one who's been serving you all this time. He's been loyal to his masters," meaning the camel has, "and this is how you treat it." They said, "O Messenger of Allah ﷺ, indeed we will neither slaughter it nor sell it." Now what are they saying? They're saying, "We're not going to slaughter it. We're not going to sell it." The Prophet ﷺ said, responded, "You have lied." Now just imagine for a moment in that situation, who from amongst us can say, when somebody says that they're not going to do this or they're not going to do that, we've changed our intention, who can turn around and say, "You have lied"? With certainty, you can't say that to anyone until you have solid proof. But the Prophet ﷺ on the spot said, "You have lied." He knows the states of the hearts. In one hadith, he says, "Your ruku and your khushu are not hidden from me." The Prophet ﷺ has been granted this ikhtiyar by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "You've lied. He indeed implored you, but you did not respond to his plea. I am more worthy of showing mercy than you. For indeed, Allah Almighty has taken mercy out of the hearts of the hypocrites and placed it into the hearts of the believers." So the Prophet ﷺ purchased this camel from its owners for 100 dirhams and said, "Go." He said to the camel, "Go. You're free for the sake of Allah Almighty." The camel was on its way, and when it departed, when it left, it was praying for the Prophet ﷺ and his ummah as well. SubhanAllah, from this account, viewers of Madani Channel, brothers in attendance, there are so many points that can be extracted. So many things can be discussed and talked about. But if we concentrate on one aspect, which is the merciful nature of our Prophet ﷺ. Whether a human came or an animal came, or in this instance a camel came, the Prophet ﷺ was all ears, was attentive, was willing to listen, willing to help, come to the aid of those who sought refuge in his blessed court. This is our Prophet ﷺ. Wa alihi wasallam, that whoever calls out to him, knowing his rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing the great rank that Allah has bestowed upon him, will certainly not be deprived, inshallah. So, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was merciful. We as ummati should show mercy. Before I move on, how merciful was our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Al-Quran al-Kareem tells us, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we did not send you except as a mercy unto all the worlds. Alam is singular, alameen is plural. All the worlds. In the tafsir of this ayah, Siratul Jinan, it states that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is a mercy for humankind, for jinnkind, for the animals, for plants, vegetation, everything in the universe. The Prophet alayhi salam is a source of mercy for that thing. No one is deprived. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he elaborates. And he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a mercy for both Muslims and non-Muslims, for believers and disbelievers, for mu'mineen and kuffar. But the mercy for the believers is twofold. The Prophet alayhi wasallam is a mercy for the believers in the dunya and in the akhirah as well. In the akhirah, he will help us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will. He will intercede for us. His mercy will reach us. But for the disbelievers, for those who do not embrace faith, the only recipients of mercy from the Prophet alayhi salam in this dunya. And how is that? Let me explain. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma states that the previous nations, when they disobeyed, when they transgressed, when they went against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they rejected the messengers, what happened? They were destroyed. Their faces were disfigured. They sunk into the earth. These types of punishments have been lifted from the disbelievers of this ummah, meaning disbelievers in the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, there are two types of ummatis. Ummat-e-ijabat and Ummat-e-Da'wat. Ummatul-Ijaba, what does this mean? This refers to the believers in this Ummah, who when the message reached them, they accepted that message as well. Alhamdulillah, we are all believers. And when that message reached us, we embraced faith in Islam. We accepted that message. And as for the second type, they were preached, meaning they were given information regarding Islam. They were taught about Islam, but they rejected it. So that is also a type of ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, the disbelievers are benefiting from the mercy of the Prophet alayhi salam in the dunya, because no matter how much disobedience they carry out, these types of punishment, mass punishment, being sunk into the earth, disfiguring of the faces, these have been lifted due to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, he says, defining again how much of a mercy the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, he says, alam refers to ma siwallah. Everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is included in alam. That means the Prophet ﷺ is a mercy for everything and everyone besides Allah Jalla wa Ala. Obviously, we won't say that the Prophet ﷺ is a mercy for Allah. This is incorrect to say, and it's wrong as well. Allah Ta'ala is the most merciful. But after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest level of mercy is found in the dhat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rahmatul lil alameen. So therefore, as mentioned previously, his mercy for humankind, jinnkind, the angels, the animals, everything within creation, in some form or another, receives the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So as ummatis, going back to it, as ummatis, we should follow suit. We have the best Prophet. We have the best leader. We have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our guide. But as ummatis, what's our responsibility? Should we not also show mercy like our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He made every effort to show mercy towards others. But what's our state today? Are we unmerciful? Are we cruel towards others? Are we oppressive towards others? These are things that we should ponder over. Listen to a hadith. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala and said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تدخل الجنة حتى تراحموا. You will not enter paradise until you show mercy. The Sahaba replied, كلنا رحيمٌ. All of us are merciful. And then the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, this does not mean that you must only be merciful to one another. Rather, you must be merciful to all. Merciful to all. He repeated it. So this is something that we need to focus on. We need to concentrate on. We shouldn't be selective in who we are merciful towards. If it's our friend, if it's someone close to us, a family member, a loved one, we show mercy. If it's someone we've not seen before, we've newly been acquainted with that person, then we develop a totally different mindset, manner towards that person. No, we should be merciful to all. Let's listen to another account. And this is for encouragement as well. Another great prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Remember, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is that great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who conversed with Allah Azza wa Jal. He was given this sharaf, this honor, this nobility. It states regarding Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that before I'lanun Nubuwa, before he announced his prophethood, he would shepherd goats. One day what happened? A goat flee from the flock. A goat ran away. Now Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is pursuing, in pursuit of this escaped goat. Now goat, what can you say to it to try and make it understand the error of its way? So this goat's on its way, ends up in a bush. Bush is full of thorns. And look at the mercy of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam didn't think, oh, this is the goat's fault rather. It's ended up in the bush. Now it's going to be inflicted with pain because of the thorns. I'm not going in there. I'm going back. I'm heading back. No. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam himself goes into that bush. His feet are injured. He's also inflicted with injury. He carries this goat on his back and comes out of that bush. And then he says, oh goat, you didn't have any mercy towards me, but at least you should have shown mercy to yourself. But what we learn from this example is that the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went out of their way to show mercy towards the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should try and do so as well. Listen to another account in this regard. This is regarding a great saint of this ummah. A great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyiduna Ali al-Khawwas, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. It's narrated regarding him that in his own house, he wouldn't find any ants. And he was merciful towards ants. He knew that ants, when they are in need of sustenance, they go out of their burrows, they go out of their holes, and they go in search for food, sustenance. They bring it back. They give it to their children, etc. But on the way, many a times, those very ants are trampled by human beings, by other things as well. They end up losing their lives, they end up dying. So what Sayyidina Ali al-Khawwas, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, would do is, he would find walls which had holes in them, cracks in them, and he knew ants would reside there. He would place breadcrumbs in those holes. Why? So that ants would not need to go out in search of food, the food would arrive at their doorstep. Unlike this, Sayyidina Ali al-Khawwas rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would show mercy to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When are we going to show such examples? When are we going to demonstrate such behavior? We have to develop it. We are ummatis of the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we have to set a certain criterion standard. Listen to another example. And these examples are just to encourage us. And no way does it mean that because these personalities lived hundreds of years ago, that these things cannot be implemented today, or these feelings cannot be displayed today. They can. You need tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyiduna Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiyallahu ta'ala, known as the crown of the saints. He rahmatullahi alayhi was once delivering a sermon on a Friday. It was the month of Rajab and the year was 546 Hijri. During his discourse, he said, "O people, I'm spending time with you solely for the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today when we sit with people, when we meet up with people, we could have many, many reasons behind it. Maybe ulterior motives. Maybe some dhati faida, personal benefit. That if I link up with so-and-so, he'll help me set up this institute, this business, this, he'll help me in this regard, etc." So we're looking at these kind of examples. But Sayyidina Ghusl Azam radiallahu ta'ala and says that, "O people, I am only sitting with you to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." That's the reason. And then he says, look at these words. He says, "My heart cares for your well-being to the extent that if it was possible, if it was mumkin, I would enter your graves and answer the questions of the angels on your behalf." Think about it. As Muslims, we know the aqeedah is that when we die, we enter our graves. When people leave, munkar and nakir, angels, terrifying appearances. We've been told that these angels appear and they make the deceased sit upright. They deal harshly with him. They ask him the questions in the graves. Sayyidina Ghusl Azam radiallahu ta'ala is saying, "O people, if it was possible, I would enter your graves at that time and answer the questions on your behalf." Now think about it for a moment. Even saying such a thing shows the level of love, kindness towards the ummah found in the heart of Sayyidina Ghusl Azam radiallahu anhu. Otherwise today, people who are most closest to us, people who are beloved to us, people who we cherish, if we said to them, "I'm writing a will, when I die, when I leave this world, I want you to enter my grave only for an hour, only for a day. Okay, a day is too long, only for 10 minutes. They'll say, "No, thank you. I'll come, I'll do Fatiha and I'll be on my way. I'm not entering the grave with you." But here Sayyidi Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu is saying, "If possible, I would enter your graves and answer the questions of the angels on your behalf." So these sentiments, these feelings were found in the hearts of the pious, in the hearts of the salihin, in the hearts of the awliya. And today we need to replicate, we need to show that love for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we're in a position to help someone, we should help them. We're in a position to show mercy to someone, we should show mercy. We shouldn't let these opportunities go by. Who knows, that one act of mercy towards others, that one act of kindness towards others leads to your forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your entrance to Jannah, who knows? So we shouldn't be ghafil in this regard. I remember we're speaking about mercy today in the bayan, and remember one thing, that if you do not show mercy, you will not receive mercy. There's no other way around that. If you show mercy, you will be shown mercy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was once with his grandchildren. And we know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed much affection towards children, especially his grandchildren. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu anhuma were with him. The Prophet alayhi salam began to kiss them. Remember, these are those blessed children of his grandchildren regarding whom he would say that these are my flowers from paradise. He would smell their fragrance, subhanAllah. He had so much affection towards them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed his grandchildren. Nearby there was a man who said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have 10 sons, but I've never once kissed them." Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and said, "Whoever is not merciful to others will not be shown mercy. Whoever is not merciful to others will not be shown mercy." So, O devotees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this regard, we have to ponder, where do we stand? Are we earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by displaying affection towards our children or not? Or are we parents that children seek refuge from? Ma'adallah. And in this regard, in particular, daughters. Sons have their own maqam, but daughters, their hearts are usually more softer. And we should show more affection towards daughters as well. Listen to some sayings in this regard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not dislike daughters, for they are loving. They are loving towards their parents." Another hadith states, "The one who is involved in the responsibility of raising daughters, and he accords caring behavior towards them, they will be a source of protection for him from the fire of hell." And another thing, this is mentioned in Makarimul Akhlaq, that whoever purchases items for their children, we all buy gifts for our children, have this intention behind it. Whoever purchases gifts for his children, it's as if he is giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're buying stuff for your own children, but you're gaining the reward of giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you buy gifts, what should you do? You should first gift them to your daughters. This is what the scholars say. Because when you please the heart of your daughter becomes happy. She expresses joy. Then the reward of crying in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given to that person. When he pleases his daughter's heart, it's as if he is crying in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reward he will attain. And what is the reward for the one who cries in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It states that the one who cries in fear of Allah azza wa jal, Allah ta'ala makes the fire of hell prohibited upon him. Becomes haram upon him, the fire of hell. So when you buy gifts to your children, gifts for your children, give them to your sons, give them to your daughters. Who do you start with? Your daughters. And when you please the heart of your daughter, it's similar to crying in the fear of Allah. And when you cry in the fear of Allah, what's the reward? Allah Ta'ala will prohibit the hellfire for you. So these are simple things that we should implement in our lives. So much reward, so much to gain as well. Now, in the bayan, we touched upon developing a soft heart, kind heart. What are those things that prevent one from having a soft heart? A few things before concluding the bayan. The scholars have said that sinning, when a person commits ma'asiyah, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? His heart hardens. And he loses that tawfiq to show kindness towards others, being merciful towards others. So the first instance, what we need to do is leave sins. We need to repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One wazifa, one litany that one can read to soften the heart, to become merciful to others, is Ya Rahmanu and Ya Rahim. Because when you read the names of Allah, Asma'ul Husna, these have an effect on your heart. And these particular names, Ya Rahman and Ya Rahim, the most merciful, and you're calling out, Oh most merciful, Oh most compassionate, then this will definitely have an impact on your heart. You'll begin to show mercy to others. Likewise, it says spending time with orphans, helping the needy, removing the difficulties of others. These are all things that will lead to your heart becoming merciful towards others. And lastly, company. Company is very, very important. If a person wants to develop a merciful heart, he needs to be with those people who have merciful hearts, who have kind hearts. If his friend circle or the people he associates with are cruel, merciless, they don't display any good behavior, then how is he ever going to do so? Their bad influence will affect him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-suhbatu mu'athira." The companionship, company has an effect. Most definitely has an effect. So if you're with people who are kind to others, merciful to others, who help others, who give priority to others, like the Sahaba. The Sahaba would give preference to others over themselves. If you are with such people, and they are present in this day and age as well, they can be found. the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the saliheen, the pious, the awliya. If you sit with such people, then no doubt, sooner rather than later, you will see that blessing in your life as well, rubbing off on your heart as well, that they're merciful, you'll become merciful as well. You'll become kind towards others. And this is what we're lacking today. Today, we see cruelty, we'll see oppression, we see deception, we see all sorts of calamities in our communities negatively affecting this ummah. So if we can rid ourselves of these traits and replace them with mercy, well-wishing, kindness, having a soft heart, being a well-wisher for others, that inshallah ta'ala, our societies, our communities, our areas will become much better, inshallah. We will be able to rectify our states for the betterment of our dunya and our akhirah. So to conclude, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all soft hearts filled with kindness and mercy towards others, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy for all. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah. We are calling upon you.